Hey, everybody. Action-packed episode. We have a lot that we get into. Is Merrick Garland conflicted? Is Merrick Garland deploying the FBI against parents because maybe the Garland family will make some money? We also read the Patriot Act and talk about what's in it. Should South Dakota be abolished, wiped off the face of the planet? Well, a leading liberal publication has now published a new article that South Dakota should be nixed. We talk about the vaccine, Pfizer, and some new revelations from Project Veritas, and so much more. Email us your thoughts, everybody, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. It's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing to allow us to hire more staff, to grow, to strengthen. And so at charliekirk.com/support, you are able to become a partner with us and grow alongside of us. I want to thank James from Shelby, Michigan. I want to thank Mitchell from Colorado Springs, Colorado. I want to thank Ella from Rogers, Arkansas. I want to thank Linda from Palos Heights, Illinois. I know exactly where it is. God bless you. Dallas from Lakewood, Washington. Thank you. And so many others that have stepped up and amazingly supported us at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Thank you, thank you, thank you for becoming a partner with what we are doing. Get involved today with Turning Point USA. Three things I want to tell you about Turning Point USA. Number one, go start a high school and college chapter today to push back against CRT and wokeism and all this nonsense. TPUSA.com. Number two, come to our tour. We're still going to Waco, Texas next week. We're going to Boise, University of Oregon, University of Vermont, University of Alabama, Roll Tide, and Clemson University. TPUSA.com/CRT, because our entire tour is themed around pushing back against CRT. It's TPUSA.com/CRT. If you guys want to get tickets to that, you can go there. And also email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, if you have difficulty or trouble getting tickets. And then finally, with Turning Point USA, you guys have got to go. It's going to be amazing. Buy your tickets out to Phoenix, Arizona. It's going to be epic. December 18, 19, 2021. America Fest, everybody. The largest pro-American celebration in the history of the country. That's our story, and we're sticking with it. Go to tpusa.com/amfest. tpusa.com/amfest. I'm telling you, the speakers that are just about to be announced, the musical artists that are going to be announced, you're going to wish you bought tickets early, tpusa.com/amfest. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love reading your insights. We have the wisest, most incredible listeners, so thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are amazing. I learned so much from you. Even those of you that sometimes write some harsh things, there's sometimes some really good wisdom there. We really appreciate it. All right, buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Lots to get to today. We're keeping our eye on the school shooting situation in Arlington, Texas. That story is still developing. I have learned over the years, do not report on these stories until we know exactly what's going on and all the context surrounding it. And so we're going to wait for that, as there seems to be a school shooting of multiple people shot in Arlington, Texas. That is right near Dallas, Texas, as that story continues to unfold. And so there's a lot of stories I want to get to this hour, including Merrick Garland and the Attorney General of the United States, who might have another motive for why he's deploying the Federal Bureau of Investigation against school board parents or against parents that are challenging school boards. And this is a story that was breaking in the last couple of days where we saw the National School Board Association of America come out, demand that the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the federal government go after what they call domestic terrorists. And so here's a really simple question is, have you heard of a bombing at a school board meeting in the last year? Anyone getting killed? No, they had in the memo from Merrick Garland, they had the following, that there was intimidation, harassment, and violence. How exactly do they classify intimidation and harassment? So Merrick Garland issues this memo saying that he is going to use the full force of the federal government to come after regular everyday parents that dare speak out and say that they do not want their children learning critical race theory with their money and their kids. And so what we are now learning is that Merrick Garland might be financially incentivized to do this. Merrick Garland's daughter is married to the co-founder of the education company who is selling critical race theory resources materials to school districts. So Merrick Garland's family, his potential grandchildren, I don't know if they have grandchildren or not, and his daughter, Rebecca Garland, who's married to this guy, Zan Tanner, they look like the absolute stereotypical liberal metropolitan college educated couple. It's like if you were just to kind of create a poster child of kind of what college produces, it's right there. And so this guy runs this company, this systemic social emotional learning project. The New York Times celebrated their marriage. Now, here's just a good rule for life. If the New York Times is celebrating your marriage with a whole page, either you have really powerful parents or you're doing something that's not good for the country or civilization. They got a whole page in the New York Times where it says, Mr. Tanner is known as Jan. He is the founder and president of Panorama Education and an analytical software and services company in Boston. He's also a graduate from Yale. I didn't even read this before, and I knew. I could see it in his eyes. Yale, Stanford, one of the two. He is the son of Catherine, they go on and on, and he's British technology. They first met in summer camp in Colorado. This whole thing, like, why exactly is this necessary for the New York Times? Like, oh, okay, he's marrying into the Garland family. And this was during a time when Merrick Garland, right afterwards, he was denied his seat on the Supreme Court and he was a federal judge. And he was within the Tickler file or the blue book of then becoming possibly the Attorney General of the United States. And so then when you go to Panorama's website, Panorama Education, which is the actual supply company that supplies the education material, where all the CRT stuff with the workbooks, the textbooks, who's the co-founder? Jan Tanner. And so then you go to the website of the Panorama Education Services link, and it says measure and understand social and emotional learning. Panorama Education, which has built out K-12 education software platform, has raised $60 million in a Series C round of funding. And then it gets very interesting. All of a sudden, all the forces combine together, where existing backers are the Emerson Collective. Now, we've talked about the Emerson Collective before in this program. The Emerson Collective is a dark money multi-billion dollar group founded and led. I don't know if it was founded, but it's largely led and financed by Laureen Powell Jobs, Steve Jobs's widow. Inherited $20 billion, didn't earn any of it, and has decided to use her wealth to destroy Western civilization. But then it gets even more interesting. Existing backer is also the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. So Mark Zuckerberg is funding the very company that Merrick Garland's family is going to be benefiting from, where now he's deploying the federal government Praetorian Guard to go after parents. This is all thanks to the conservativetreehouse.com. I think they were the first website to uncover this, and I want to thank them for this. It's very, very good. Panorama continues to go into this, and they say over 50 of the 100 largest school districts and state agencies in the country use this platform. In total, more than 1,500 school districts are among its customers. Clients include the New York City Department of Education, the Clark County School District in Nevada, and Dallas Independent School District in Texas, and the Hawaii Department of Education, amongst others. Since March of 2020, Panorama has added 700 more school districts to its customer base, nearly doubling the 800 it just served 18 months prior. Jan Tanner, the co-founder of the company, started the company in an effort to figure out the best way for schools to collect and understand feedback from their parents. But you go to the very website of Panorama Education, you realize that this is an online portal to be able to better teach children bigotry, hatred, racism, and critical race theory. PanoramaEd.com. You could check it out yourself. It's a massive staff. Have you seen how many people work for this company? It's got to be at least 300 to 400 people that work for this company. Not that many. It's probably 200 people. And you go to the front of the Panorama website, it says all of the data that you need to succeed. But then you dive deeper into this and you realize that every single one of these awful ideas is now made possible thanks to the profit motive of the Garland family. This is partly what parents are speaking out against when they go to these school board meetings. Is Merrick Garland conflicted? There's a conflict of interest here, clearly, as his daughter is now married into the family and is part of the family of the company that parents are speaking out against. And Merrick Garland says, oh, don't worry, I'll throw the feds at them. We're just going to send the FBI and intimidate and chill future speech. Since September 2021, it's just last month, Panorama Education, Zan Tanner, raised $60 million to expand operations. His father-in-law, Merrick Garland, then tells the FBI to investigate any potential parental interference or disruption that might impede his daughter and son-in-law's business interests. You know, we used to have laws against this sort of stuff. But it's no surprise. It's the same thing how Joe Biden creates Chinese policy to benefit his family. It's the same thing how Hunter Biden says that, oh, I don't know who's buying my art, even though, breaking news story shows today, he's hanging out with the people that are buying his art. But always follow the money, everybody. That there is a profit motive and there's an incentive behind the clampdown. And Merrick Garland, being a scorned man, is using federal police, the FBI, to go after you, regular parents, so that his family could potentially remain rich. Look, more than half the country is currently on a high deductible health insurance plan and on the hook for thousands of dollars of deductibles, copay, and sky-high premiums. For many people in the United States concerned about the cost of health insurance, there are no good options. You either go uninsured or you pay through the nose for a high deductible plan with very questionable coverage, all because of a broken health insurance system. It's like being stuck with an outdated cable TV plan and not knowing about Netflix. I want to introduce to you CrowdHealth. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a better way to pay for medical expenses. CrowdHealth is a community of people who are tired of paying for a broken system. It's a place where you can get simple, flexible, and affordable ways to pay for your healthcare. Being in the CrowdHealth community can save hundreds of dollars monthly and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. Why CrowdHealth? Well, it's flexible and simple and also is a membership-based system. It's flexible because membership as a month-to-month subscription, start or stop when it comes convenient for you. It's simple because using their app, you can find any doctor in the country ranked from 1-star to 5-star. And it's a membership-based system where a community of health-conscious members who want to get and stay healthy in return for lower prices. 100% of your monthly membership pays for actual health care costs, helping the whole CrowdHealth community stay healthy while keeping more money in your pocket. So here's what you do. CrowdHealth is able to offer amazing prices because of its community of health-conscious members. But they have an amazing offer. Just for my listeners, get your first 6 months for just $99 per month. That's a savings of almost 50% versus their standard pricing, and a lot less than one of those garbage high deductible plans. Just go to joincrowdhealth.com/99 or enter code Charlie at sign up. That's joincrowdhealth.com/99, promo code Charlie. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's community-powered alternative. Terms and conditions may apply. Imagine preparing your whole life to go work for the FBI, which there are a lot of good people that work for the FBI and have. The boots of the FBI is full of a lot of great people. And you say, you know, I want to go serve my country. I want to catch drug traffickers, child sex traffickers, international money launderers. And they have a big meeting and they say, okay, we understand you've committed 20 years to the FBI and to federal law enforcement. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go send you after 42-year-old moms in suburban Detroit, Atlanta, and Dallas. And you say, is this really what I signed up for? To go spy on moms that are asking questions at school boards? The answer is yes. Now, meanwhile, and we didn't actually cover this story, which I want to get into. This actually is something because there was so much news last week. Is to go through, there is this question of, is America becoming a safer country or a more dangerous country? So Merrick Garland did not issue a memo condemning the fact that murders are up 30% since last year. 30% murders are up. So murders are up 30% in the last year. And Merrick Garland instead issues a directive saying that we're not going to go try to find the spike in violent crime, like the abolishing police force, BLM Incorporated, how these ideas of CRT are actually resulting in more people being dead. No, instead, he wants to issue a press release or a memo directing the federal government to go after domestic political enemies that they don't like. Instead of trying to convince people of a certain viewpoint, they want to go to force. We've talked about this many times on our program. There are two ways that you can organize society. Every government can be put into one of these two buckets. Either it's a government that has an emphasis on speech, or a government that has emphasis on force. The left is done talking. They don't want to talk. Instead, they're willing to use armed federal agents to go after moms and dads, like in Cut 54, parents that are speaking out at school board meetings. According to the National School Board Association and your federal government, BLM, they are not domestic terrorists, not even close. The cartel, no memo issued about the cartel. How about gangbangers in inner cities? Nope. No, instead, this is the emphasis and the focus of the people who have the guns. Play Cut 54.
In March, my child had to watch a TED talk in English class, not on anything related to English, but rather oppression and acknowledging privilege. Any parent with a pulse knows that this is wrong. Why has public school become so mired in extremist politics and a permissive culture that seems to celebrate the latest popular fads like gender fluidity?
And we oppose your efforts to impose critical race theory, an overtly racist doctrine that teaches our children to judge and categorize others based solely on the color of their skin.
Your government believes that mother is a domestic terrorist. And I have many people asking us, emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Well, Charlie, what can be done about this? I do have to say that I think Republicans have handled this better than I've seen most issues. Not great. I think a 5 out of 10. The FBI is completely and totally out of control. The Department of Justice does whatever they want to do. The National School Board Association of America is a major donor to the Democrat Party. We have been calling for school board involvement for years on this program, and no one really seemed that interested in it. But up until recently, because of the graphic sexual education curriculum, masks, the double standard, the vaccine mandates, and then critical race theory, parents started to say, wait a second, these are our kids and our dollars. They don't like that. Questioning authority is met with force, not with explanation. And so they need a bailout. The people that have been indoctrinating our children have asked the federal government for a bailout and a line of protection because they know what they are doing is completely and totally indefensible. You can have a country prioritize force or speech. And the current regime is willing to march armed federal agents into school boards to stop moms and dads from complaining about what's happening at their schools. Hey, everybody. I want you to imagine over 100,000 Americans losing their jobs. Well, you could stop imagining because it's reality, everybody. Since 2015, over 100,000 independent farms and ranches in the United States have shut down. Why? Because foreign meat is stealing their business and robbing you of the quality and flavor you deserve. China has destroyed the American economy through dumping products, and they've also waged war on American ranchers. It's time to stick it to China, and that's what Good Ranchers does so well. They exist to support local American farms that help you make great American meals. Together, they want to restore the American ranch and your meals to the former glory. Get the beef, chicken, and seafood that cannot be imported or matched at goodranchers.com. Did you know that the product of USA tag has been stolen by foreign countries? They process their meat here and then label it like it came from America fraudulently. Because of these labeling laws that favor foreign imported meat, over 100,000 independent American farms and ranches have closed since 2015. Good Ranchers is here to put America first at the dinner table and the ranchers that have worked to raise the meat we eat. They send you a box. Everyone listening to this needs to eat and feed their family. And if you want to support our program, if you like the Charlie Kirk Show, you can kill two birds, one stone. Buy really good meat and get food because you have to eat anyway and support our program at goodranchers.com/Charlie right now and save $20 off, or better yet, subscribe and save the box of mouth-watering meats. I'm telling you, they send us these meats and there is a fight over who gets the perfectly marbled filet mignon or the marinated chicken. It is a beautiful sight when the box of meats arrive at our office. Our mouths are watering. The children begin singing. Everything just seems a little bit lighter and brighter. In fact, the day gets better when the Good Ranchers box arrives because you know, with the beautiful Phoenix weather, you can watch some college football, throw a couple steaks on the grill, turn up the volume, and enjoy being an American because you're eating American meat, not Chinese meat, not Argentinian meat, not Vietnamese meat, not Iranian meat, not Egyptian meat, but instead American meat. So save on each box of mouth-watering American meats. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie. They've been amazing partners. I'm such a big believer in this company. Use promo code Charlie at checkout. Goodranchers.com/Charlie. They send you this box of meat that you can feed your family and also support this program, as you guys know how hard we are working to save the country. Goodranchers.com/Charlie. I remember sitting eighth grade class in 2008, and our teacher, I won't say the person's name, was walking us through the Patriot Act. What is the Patriot Act, and is it a good thing or not? I remember having this big discussion. As I look back at kind of my education, it's kind of interesting that I grew up in a country where every year our freedoms evaporated more. And so in eighth grade, I remember our teacher walked us through the Patriot Act. And again, they have all these like really silly names, these acronyms. So the Patriot Act is really the Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism. USA Patriot Act, they always try to make this kind of an acronym. Kind of over that whole thing, to be honest. It's too cute by a mile, if you ask me. I remember, though, that basically the way the teacher framed it was that if you're a Democrat, you're against the Patriot Act, but if you are a Republican, you are for the Patriot Act. And so I was more conservative than not as an eighth grader. I loved the country, and I was tired of my teachers telling me America was terrible. So I felt this kind of need to go put on the team right jersey and defend something that kind of felt kind of weird at the time, quite honestly. But you're in eighth grade. There's not the... And by the way, back in eighth grade, I had not yet discovered Rush Limbaugh. And kind of the full extent of my kind of political philosophy was just kind of reading whatever conservative books they had, which I think was like a biography on George W. Bush. So that was about the extent of what my school had as far as conservative literature. It was hardly the sort of incredible access to information that eighth graders have now today, where they have podcasts like ours, The Charlie Kirk Show. They have Tucker Carlson. They have an incredible amount of library of content. All the work we're doing at Turning Point USA. Didn't have any of that when I was in eighth grade. We didn't have smartphones when I was in eighth grade. No one had cell phones. It was great. It's terrific. We should go back to that. Smartphones have largely ruined our country. And so I remember, though, talking about the Patriot Act, and some student, some classmate of mine, asked a really wise question. And he was actually not a very wise person, ended up being kind of a failure at life, at least as things stand today. But the way he asked the question was so good. He raised his hand. He said, "What's to prevent who's ever in control of government from using this against their political opponents?" And I remember my teacher in eighth grade saying, "Oh, that will never happen. We have a constitution for that." And that was the end of the discussion. And again, it's not my teacher's fault. You know, it's not for them to answer it. But then every time this idea of domestic surveillance came up, Team Right, the people on the conservative side, we always felt the need to try and defend this vast security apparatus where it was not constitutional. It was definitely never well explained. And you have people like Lindsey Graham who love the Patriot Act, who just live to make sure the Patriot Act exists. But then the Tea Party movement comes and there's kind of this resurgence of the love of the United States Constitution. And as the Tea Party movement kind of accelerated, all of a sudden you started to have more elected officials like Rand Paul and Ron Paul before him, who was in Congress for quite some time, ask questions. Who are we spying on? What's actually in the Patriot Act? So I thought it would be helpful, as we are now entertaining using the Patriot Act against parents, what actually is in the Patriot Act? Expanded surveillance abilities of law enforcement, including wiretapping your communications and phones, increased penalties for terrorism crimes, an expanded list of activities that would qualify for terrorism charges. You hear that? That if you speak out at a school board meeting, what if they're able to fit the Patriot Act criminal code into you being a potential threat against the country? Eased interagency communication to allow federal agencies to more effectively use all available resources in counterterrorism units. Efforts, I should say. So you go through all of this, you realize every provision of the Patriot Act, this is an unprecedented expansion of the security state. This should not even be a controversial issue amongst conservatives, especially after Donald Trump was spied on illegally using the very apparatus that was established thanks to the Foreign Domestic Surveillance Act or the FISA court of a president. A person that was running for president, was president-elect of the United States, that is spied on by his own government. In the Enhanced Surveillance Procedures, which is Title II of the Patriot Act, it basically says that there are these packet switch networks, or the Electronic Privacy Information Center, or EPIC, that exists, and this creation of a domestic spy agency on you. Now, all of this was suspected until a man who I consider him to be a very complicated person. Some people say, is he a hero? Is he a villain? Neither. I think he's a mixture of both. But I think he definitely did some good for exposing it. All of this would be unsubstantiated conspiracy theory conjecture if it wasn't for Edward Snowden. Do I think Edward Snowden should have fled to Russia and leaked potentially sensitive information that could put people's lives in danger? No. Do I think that Edward Snowden, however, to use the counter argument against it, had to leak this information as broadly as possible to try to give people the information so that they could actually understand the Leviathan of the security state? Maybe. And so you go through the details of the United States Patriot Act, and then you see the National School Board Association calling on the federal government, Merrick Garland agreeing. And Rand Paul and Ron Paul have been warning against this abuse for quite some time, that it will just be a matter of time before this security apparatus will be used against political dissidents. And we saw a preview of that with Donald Trump. We saw a little bit of a coming attraction trailer. They will not be able to help themselves but to use the power of the federal government to try to crush you. Play cut 71.
Made phone calls and all.
There's Senator Rand Paul once again having a filibuster moment, leading a 10-hour talkathon against renewal of key provisions of the Patriot Act.
And I will not let the Patriot Act, the most unpatriotic of acts, go unchallenged. So the American people say, enough's enough. We want our privacy protected. The bulk collection must end, and I think we have the votes to do it now.
Rand Paul was ridiculed, mocked, never taken seriously. But why am I playing all of this? Because the government only has the ability to spy on parents because Republicans gave them that ability. Rand Paul tried to stop this. Rand Paul and a couple others, Mike Lee, and bizarrely enough, Bernie Sanders, I think was a huge critic of the Patriot Act, which always kind of perplexes me, where it's like, oh yeah, we want government to do everything for you. And by the way, we're really worried about government overreach. I said, if you're so worried about government overreach, why do you want the government to run your healthcare, your schools? And, you know, Tucker Carlson said last night, he said, any rational or thinking person that used to be for the Patriot Act and now looks at what it's become should call for the total and complete repeal of it. But that's not going to happen anytime soon, because almost all Democrats, except a couple, but almost all Republicans are equally tied to the intelligence agencies. Look really carefully and closely at your elected official. Are they calling for the FBI, the FISA courts, and for the Patriot Act to be repealed? Because they see what's happening right now. And they see that if you espouse a certain political viewpoint, then they're coming after you.
Look, I often talk about the crushing debt and lack of jobs that come with the broken college system in our country, and how entering a trade or vocational school can provide great career opportunities where your skills will always be in demand. I want to talk to you about the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing. If you go to trainingndt.com, that's trainingndt.com, you can learn how to have an opportunity to work in industries such as aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, and alternative energy as a technician performing critical inspections that make our world a safer place. The American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing provides 93% job placement, and graduates enjoy a starting wage of about $50,000 a year. You can earn $60,000, $70,000, or even $80,000 yearly within a couple years as a technician. Their program consists of 6 months online education, followed by 3 weeks at the American Institute campus, using state-of-the-art inspection equipment such as ultrasonics, capturing x-rays, and producing magnetic fields to inspect critical components to ensure their safety and reliability. If you're looking for a career shift, or if you are in high school and you're not sure what you want to do, I want you to know that Don Booth, the CEO, is a patriot, and his whole team cares deeply about the future of every graduate. Go to trainingndt.com to learn about this exciting and rewarding career. Check it out, everybody. Trainingndt.com. Check it out. It's a wonderful program. Trainingndt.com.
All right, everybody. I just want to clear the air a little bit here. I was kidding about the Dodgers thing. I don't actually pray for their defeat. I hope for their defeat. We're getting some people emailing us, Charlie, you should think about your listeners. It's a joke how I get under producer Andrew's skin, because he passive aggressively sent me the Ducks score after they blew the most winnable football game in the history of the planet against the Stanford Cardinal. I love sports. Sports is a lot of fun. Yankees lost yesterday, right? I never liked the Yankees, so that was good. That was good to see. Yeah, I was angry. I'm still angry over that. Chicago White Sox are in the playoffs, though. I actually like the Cubs and the White Sox. I know that's considered heretical in the Chicagoland area. Because they say, how could you like the Cubs and the White Sox? I like Chicago. All right, I want to close this one point here, which I think is really important. Let's go to Senator Josh Hawley, cut 50, on Tucker Carlson, discussing the Department of Justice being weaponized against concerned parents. And let me just say, as our last two stops, this is all such perfect timing. At Turning Point USA, we did our campus stop at University of Michigan and University of Minnesota Mankato. And the parents that showed up, it's mostly students, but there are some people from the community that show up to these events. The amount of concern and worry that they now have that the federal government is going to be criminalizing their speech, it's intentional. The Biden regime knows that what these parents are doing is legal, but instead they want to instill paranoia. They want to instill the sword of Damocles. I'm going to tell you what the sword of Damocles is. It's a story from thousands of years ago, which is exactly what Joe Biden wants us to believe and operate. Let's play Josh Hawley first, and I'll tell you about the sword of Damocles.
Well, you could imagine, Tucker, some things that FBI agents could be doing, like maybe going to the border where we have an unprecedented surge of crime, of illegal immigration, of drug smuggling. But no, instead, we're going to go after parents. I mean, can I just say, you know that you've lost the argument when you are sending FBI agents to try and silence voting, tax-paying parents, trying to silence them. I mean, I can't think of an instance in American history when anything like this has happened before. It's another first for Joe Biden, and it's a bad one.
And so what they want you to believe is that there is a sword hanging by a thread above your existence. So this sword of Damocles was a parable, and it became a motif in medieval literature. And it, basically, this is the quote from Cicero, who was a one-year Roman consul who was phenomenal. He was actually killed right near the time of Julius Caesar's death. And Julius Caesar had this beautiful quote where he said, "The more laws, the less justice." The founding fathers loved Cicero. But Cicero wrote about the tale of Damocles and represented the idea that those in power always labor under the specter of anxiety and death, and that, quote, "there can be no happiness for the one who is under constant apprehensions." And so, every man, woman, and child who lives under a nuclear sword of Damocles, hanging by the slenderest of threads, capable of being cut at any moment by accident or miscalculation or madness. That was a speech that John F. Kennedy gave to the United Nations back in 1961, talking about nuclear weapons. But essentially, if you get the visual, there's like this sword hanging from the ceiling by a thread, and they want every parent who shows up at the school board meeting to be afraid that at any moment that sword could drop from the ceiling and drop on you and metaphorically or possibly end your life by putting you in prison. Let me read this again, that no man can be free under the labor or the anxiety of constant apprehension or penalty. They want people to have nervous glances of the blade dangling above them, worried that the FBI is going to come marching in at 3 o'clock in the morning of their home because they dared complained about critical race theory. They know what they're doing. They want you to be afraid. Don't be. They don't have as much power as they pretend to have. Do you think we should abolish South Dakota? Now, many of you probably driving right now or listening in either North or South Dakota, you say, what on earth are you talking about? What kind of crazy conjecture is that? Well, the New Republic, which is the new repugnant. It's a, these are, it's kind of like the Atlantic, but a little bit more vulgar. Yeah, I would say a little bit more vulgar than the Atlantic, where they kind of float these ideas and some of them actually become policy eventually. Obviously, this idea is wildly unrealistic, but it also is very revealing. I like focusing on some of these stories at times because you can realize what these people are saying in their private text messages because they decide then and write articles about it. And this goes to show that not only do they believe that the middle part of our country are deplorables, that they are the smelly Walmart people, they are quite honestly, what was the last word that, irredeemable. That's what Hillary Clinton said. But they actually want to abolish statehood for South Dakota. Here is the title of the story. South Dakota is a moral sewer and should be abolished. The other Dakota is a make-believe state devoted to the preservation of wealth dynasties, and it should just go away. And so you're diving into this story. It goes into this some history about how the French stole South Dakota in 1743. After that, America, you know, because we bought in the Louisiana Purchase in 1803, we were able to include the 828,000 square miles that were sold to Thomas Jefferson. And allegedly, no one paid much attention to North or South Dakota. But this really kind of goes to the question of self-government. We're doing our program right now from Minnesota, which neighbors South Dakota and North Dakota. Why does statehood matter? Why not just make one big state that is Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, make that all one state? Why divide it into five separate states? Well, despite the obvious reason where you form a government for the purpose of managing your land, your people, and your fellow countrymen, is that local government is, in many different instances, far superior to a national federalized system. That the decentralization of power has actually kept America more free. I want you to imagine what America would look like if there was only one Dakota. No Nebraska, no Kansas, no Wyoming, no Montana. What would the United States Senate look like right now? Now, some people accuse me of making a nakedly partisan argument when I say that. Let's forget partisanship for a second. Let's just talk philosophy. The founding fathers believed that there must be an intentional and deliberate balance between the rural and urban aspects of American society. James Madison famously said that urban life will be prone to rumor with a spice of madness, that it's the farmer, the agrarian, and the rural worker and community that is intentional, deliberate, prudent, patient, an understanding of what it takes to be a citizen of a great nation. The less rural America has been the last 30 or 40 years, the more secular we have become, the more dangerous our society has become, and dare I say, the less free we have actually become. And so an emphasis of a balance between the people of Manhattan and the people of Rapid City, South Dakota, is moral, and it's necessary. Now, the left doesn't like this, which is why they have wrote this article for the New Republic, "We must abolish South Dakota altogether." Meaning, we don't like what South Dakota is doing, and we really don't like the fact that South Dakota gets representatives in Washington, D.C. I mean, that's just a waste of time. They're making the political argument. They don't like the fact that a state like South Dakota or North Dakota has a say. Now, interestingly enough, they never want to abolish statehood for Vermont or Rhode Island that have similar and comparable population totals. What's the population of Vermont? 650,000? Population of Rhode Island, I think it might be a little over a million, but it is by far the smallest state. I mean, you look at Rhode Island. Rhode Island easily could be absorbed by Massachusetts, like easily, without even a question. So why statehood for Rhode Island? Which, by the way, if you go back into American history, Rhode Island was always, alongside South Carolina for different reasons, the most disagreeable territory and state and colony. In fact, many of the founding fathers used to call Rhode Island Rogue Island. Rhode Island was the last state to begrudgingly and reluctantly ratify the United States Constitution. So Vermont's population is 623,000. Rhode Island's 1 million people. What is South Dakota and North Dakota's? We're getting the numbers right there. So interestingly, the New Republic decides to write a story, literally, and I'm not kidding you. The title says South Dakota must be abolished. Get rid of it. Just wipe it off the face of the earth. It's in the way of our revolutionary aims and objectives, and South Dakota must be targeted. Yet South Dakota has a population of 884,000 people. So South Dakota has more people than Vermont, yet they want to abolish South Dakota, not Vermont. Why? It's because they want the senator seats. That's why. So if you take the population of Rhode Island and Vermont and the population of South Dakota and North Dakota, it's almost an identical number. It's about 1.5, 1.6 million. Meanwhile, Delaware has a population of 973,000 people. This is exactly why they want statehood for Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico, and they want to get rid of statehood for South Dakota. You see, a federal compact, as it is today, means that you must have independent sovereign statehood before you can get accepted into the United States Senate, and you can send representatives into Washington, D.C. This is one of my biggest complaints right now with Republicans, is the misunderstanding of the constitutional tradition. Why don't we break California into a couple different states? 36 million people, way too many people. How about New York? Why don't we break New York into four or five different states? I'd actually be for all these things, by the way. I think the more you break up some of these states that are far too big and incredibly overpopulated, not overpopulated in the sense that they have too many people, but they, I think that they're weighted in the sense that Manhattan rules the rest of New York. Why is that fair? Why is that equitable? But it's, of course, up to the states to be able to appropriate their own boundaries, their own lines, because the way the American system works, which the New Republic refuses to acknowledge, the progressive publication that basically wants power and an acceleration of America's decline to usher in exactly what remains to be seen, is that decentralization gets in their way. Woodrow Wilson, who was basically the first legitimate anti-American president in American history. We spent a lot of time on Woodrow Wilson. He was president of Princeton University, the only PhD to ever become president of the United States, the only doctor ever to become president. One of America's worst presidents, passed the income tax, the Federal Reserve Act, and also got rid of the direct election of senators. Woodrow Wilson said one aspect of the American system frustrated him more than any other. Separation of powers. He hated it. He said, there is no reason why, if we have consensus and we know what we want, why should we have to separate power? So why did the founders do that? Well, the founders intentionally separated power because they knew that, as Lord Acton said, and many of you can repeat this quote, but repetition is the soul of memory, that absolute power corrupts absolutely, that one man controlling too much is not good for anyone, that the soul gets corrupted. Therefore, separation of powers paired with checks and balances, independent judiciary, and the consent of the governed, the four aspects of the American constitutional system put together make things slow and deliberate and intentionally difficult to revolutionize the country. And guess what? South Dakota stands in the way. And so does North Dakota. The fact that Dakotas have statehood, sovereignty, which pre-existed their entrance into the federal government, South Dakota's not getting abolished anytime soon, despite the wishes of the left. Hey, everybody. There's so much going on in the world. And whether it's stuff you're excited about or things that you don't want to think about, like everything that comes out of Joe Biden's mouth, you can't always control what's going on out there. But you can control what's going on in your head as far as what you're listening to with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. My Raycons have traveled with me all over the country. In fact, Mikey on our team is an incredibly avid and passionate Raycon fan. In fact, this came up the other day and he just started saying, do you understand how good Raycon earbuds are? And I just said, tell me more. It was really fascinating. I agreed, of course, because wherever you use them, they work really well. Whether you wind down, work, or work out, Raycons are my go-to and Mikey's go-to for on-the-go audio. And the new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With an improved rubber oil look, feel, and optimized gel tips, the perfect in-ear fit, they're impressive before you even start listening. You get three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. They have the pure mode, the balanced mode, and the bass mode. And there's also an all-new awareness mode where you need to listen to your surroundings around you. Maybe you're boarding a plane. Eventually, once you get on the plane, you could turn it on to kind of the total sound out mode. But maybe you need to listen when you're boarding on the announcements. But here's the thing. Raycon offers 8 hours of playtime and 32 hours of battery life. There's also built-in mic, and you could take your calls and your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium and audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, Kirk listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Kirk. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk. At Raycons, to save 15% off Raycons, buyraycon.com/Kirk. There's kind of this platforming of the Scandinavian countries that so many people on the left participate in. I think there's some things that Sweden and Denmark get right. At least up until recently, Sweden and Denmark had some of the most sane immigration policies on the planet, that you must speak the language, love the country. We're not going to open up our borders to everyone. That has changed recently since the Syrian refugee crisis. Denmark doesn't have a minimum wage. Sweden has full school choice. Sweden also, I think, handled the Fauci virus and the Chinese coronavirus better than any other country that I can think of, refusing the lockdown, trusting their citizens to make good choices, and let's say rejecting the lockdowns in more ways than one. But still, the American left wants to talk about Sweden and Denmark. But did you know, breaking today, Sweden and Denmark have halted Moderna's Chinese coronavirus shot or vaccine for younger people? The Swedish watchdog cites increased risk of heart inflammation. This is from Bloomberg.com. So if the Moderna shot is unacceptable for people under 30 because of a heart risk, well, then the Pfizer shot should be too. They are effectively the same product, far more alike than they are different, and the primary difference is dosage. And Pfizer shows very significant myocarditis increased risk too. And remember, this problem was first seen in Israel, where Pfizer was only used in Israel. Now, Governor Gavin Newsom of California has come out and he says, I want all the children to be vaccinated. Well, tragically, a 15-year-old, because of Governor Newsom's order, has now died. This is according to the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office. Police in Sonoma County, California, are blaming the Pfizer vaccine. This is the police that are blaming the vaccine, everybody, for causing the sudden death of a Santa Rosa teenager. And by the way, this is all verified. This is not conjecture. This is not speculation. The Sonoma County Sheriff's Office report shows a determination was made by a medical examiner that the 15-year-old was found dead in his bedroom 2 days after the second jab and suffered a, quote, stress cardiomyopathy and coronary artery inflammation. All of this is verified. So Governor Gavin Newsom comes out and he mandates the vaccine for children and school-age children. Meanwhile, Sweden and Denmark say, time out, no more vaccinating kids with Moderna. And now we have a 15-year-old dead in Sonoma County. Add that to the list of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of other adverse events that we know are pouring in. And now a new California study comes out and shows that vaccinated individuals are more susceptible to the COVID variant than unvaccinated. We're going to post this on charliekirk.com because whenever I mention these studies, we get floods of emails. But this is from medrxiv.org and very, very credible website. It's not some sort of fringe blog. And we want to make sure we get this up. And it says, the increase in the frequency of more antibody-resistant strains in the population correlates with the increase in the frequency of the population in the vaccination in the population. And by the way, just so you know, Sonoma County has zero pediatric COVID deaths, but now they have at least one vaccine-related death. So we are going to post this study. It's a legitimate medical journal. It's not some sort of fringe thing that can be ignored. More vaccinations mean that more resistant strains emerge. And natural immunity, which you're not even allowed to say, has been proven, even by Pfizer's own admission, caught on camera by James O'Keefe's Project Veritas, to be the ideal way to protect yourself and inoculate yourself against the Chinese coronavirus. So James O'Keefe from Project Veritas, he just does not stop. It's amazing the operation he has there. I think James O'Keefe, he has stolen more hours of sleep from the ruling class than I think any other person in recent memory. James O'Keefe has another story. It's the fourth of the vaccine. Let's just to kind of recap everything James O'Keefe has released. The first was the HHS story, which was a bombshell story that shows that the doctors within our own federal government are admitting the vaccine is causing side effects. No one's actually using the vaccine adverse event reporting system database as they say they should be. He then revealed Johnson & Johnson. He now has Pfizer. So James O'Keefe then decided to confront the Pfizer scientist after the Pfizer video previously that we played yesterday, where the Pfizer scientists said that natural immunity is far superior and that, quote, Pfizer is just getting COVID money. I'm paraphrasing. That's the essence of it, wasn't it? It was that Pfizer is just getting COVID money. I'm sick to my stomach working for this company. James O'Keefe confronted the Pfizer scientist, play cut 75.
Hey, Nick, is this seat taken?
Yes.
You work for Pfizer, don't you?
Ooh.
You're
no,
on.
I'm not doing this.
You're absolutely a scientist at Pfizer.
Dude, do not. You, absolutely not. What are you doing right now?
So you're on camera saying that the antibodies, if you've had COVID, are better at that point than your vaccination.
I'd like to see any of this. Are you f***ing kidding me right now?
I'm not kidding you. You are on camera explaining.
Why do you have anything about me?
Well, here's a video of you talking.
You work for Pfizer.
Sir.
James O'Keefe's a professional. He keeps himself calm throughout the entire thing. Of course, Pfizer doesn't want to be confronted about it. The Pfizer money-printing drug company that has harmed so many lives and has and Republicans continue to take money from Pfizer. Actually, let's look at that. I'm actually interested. And you'd be amazed at how many people in conservative media are friendly with people that are kind of in the Pfizer orbit, if you will, that are kind of friendly with Pfizer in general. I'm just looking right here. The RNC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, all took six-figure donations from Pfizer. Pfizer gave 43% to Republicans, 53% to Democrats. Whenever you see that, whenever you see any sort of company giving like near 50-50, you know that they're not giving because they're so enthralled and excited about that person's vision for the country. It's investment. It's like a NASCAR sponsorship. Let's just get our name on the car and they won't insult us and they won't come after us. So we now look at some of the people within the House of Representatives and the people that are actually in the highest levels of government. And you start to realize that Pfizer is control alongside AstraZeneca and Johnson, it's not alone. It's taking massive amounts of money. And I can go through some of the names, Tom Tillis, Mitch McConnell, obviously. James Lankford takes money from Pfizer. I don't know why Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise would take money from Pfizer. They should return it immediately. But, you know, I will say, though, a lot of these people, they will stop as soon as we confront them because Republican voters have never cared before because they never really understood the flow of money from the pharmaceutical companies into the pockets of politicians. Lindsey Graham takes money from Pfizer. Not surprising. Tim Scott takes money from Pfizer. Not shocking. So now the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, has come out and they are trying to, they're asking a question. They have launched a new documentary, a new production, because they're wondering why so many young people are dying from undiagnosed heart conditions. Dubbed a sudden death risk for runners like me. Now, we are one of the few podcasts and programs, not the only one. There are some phenomenal other ones that have been willing to kind of say, hey, you do realize that there's a sudden spike in myocarditis, that we've received thousands of emails of people that have dropped dead after getting the vaccine. And what are we told? That we are conspiracy theorists, fear mongers. You're not allowed to talk about any of this. But now the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, is launching a production saying, why are so many young people dying from undiagnosed heart conditions? Play cut 79.
It's Jem O'Reilly. At 16 years old, I was diagnosed with a heart condition, which means I have to be really careful with my health. Activities such as running could be dangerous, potentially causing sudden death for someone like me. And I am not alone.
They found out that I had an undiagnosed heart condition that could easily send my
pulse to over 250 beats per minute.
Finn's heart condition nearly killed him after going on a bike ride.
Now, obviously, you can only speculate so far as causation and correlation, but it's certainly interesting that the activist press overseas is asking, why are so many young people having these sort of heart problems, especially after we go on a massive inoculation campaign, forced vaccination campaign? And we already mentioned that the police in Sonoma County are blaming the Pfizer vaccine for causing the sudden death of a Santa Rosa teen, 15 years old, from a coronary artery inflammation. We also obviously talked about the Northwestern student, the young black girl. She died with the same sort of symptoms back in May, right after getting the COVID vaccine. Is America coming closer to a place of harmony or a place of permanent conflict? The story is related, which again kind of goes with this mask tyranny that we're living under. It's so incredibly, it's micro-tyranny. Anarcho-tyranny, which is not a phrase that I came up with. I believe it was Sam Francis. Can you double check that? Who wrote about anarcho-tyranny, which is anarchy for the people that are degenerating society, tyranny for the people that are conserving society. So if you want to do heroin and engage in open sexual activities and not wear clothes on the side of the street, San Francisco's okay with that. That is fine. But if you want to, Samuel Todd Francis, thank you. But if you want to open up your church, or if you dare misgender somebody, you will be immediately arrested by the regime. It's very interesting. Before reading this kind of term that I did not come up with, anarcho-tyranny, I did independently come to this conclusion with a separate word. It wasn't as good. It was, I can't even remember the word. It was like anarcho-authoritarianism, whatever it was. Because I remember walking the streets of San Francisco a couple of years ago. And as I was walking the streets, it was like 3-4 years ago, walking the streets of San Francisco, as I had to keep on walking, like literally avoiding the homeless people and the broken windows, I realized right then and there that according to California statute, that if I misgender one of these homeless people that are shooting up with heroin on the side of the streets, that I could be criminally penalized. And I said, wow, it's not that they're against state power, it's that they want to use state power against the people that they really don't like. Well, in Cut 78, because of all of this nonsense, a man gets kicked off the plane after pleading to stay on the plane for having a mask below his nose and saying that it will never happen again. This wasn't an anti-masker, someone who was defiant. But no, they had to make an example out of him because he had his mask below the nose. Genocidal maniac. Play Cut 78.
I'm sorry. Never going to happen again. Please. I'm so sorry. Please, I mean, thanks. She actually found that she's been there.
Okay, I'm never
going to
happen again. No matter. Please.
I don't want you to
please involved. That's the next step.
Please. I promise. I really promise. That's never
going to
happen again.
Pleading that it will never happen again. Pleading for mercy from the airlines. Meanwhile, Rashida Tlaib, congresswoman from Michigan, who is another ingrate, someone who absolutely hates the country. Her and Ilhan Omar make quite a team. Rashida Tlaib opens up and she said, look, I only wear a mask for the cameras because I have a Republican tracker on me. Play Cut 77.
Oh, no. Oh, not you.
Oh, I thought you were like, oh, he's the one unmasked guy. Well, thank you for coming out.
I only wear a mask for the cameras. Now, where is the opposition party? Where are Republicans that are standing up against the forced vaccinations, the mask tyranny? Well, Lindsey Graham was asked that question from the crowd, and he started to try to justify the COVID vaccine. And then as soon as he was confronted, he made a 180 and said the government shouldn't be mandating vaccines. This is what it takes, everybody. You have to be clear and courageous and get up to your elected officials and ask them, why are you allowing this to happen? Play Cut 64.
I think it's the truth. The truth is that unvaccinated
I'm going to lose my job in 60 days. You got to stop it now.
From who?
From the U.S. government, the Navy.
Okay, I'm a veteran too. How many of you have taken measles shot? In the military, they can say you got to get vaccinated. I think that's a dumb idea. You know why? We shouldn't be driving people away from serving.
So he makes a 180 throughout it because he realizes his voters and the people that he's actually accountable to are really angry at him for doing nothing. And this voter comes out and says, the U.S. Navy's about to fire me. What are you going to do about that? That's what it's going to take, everybody. We will not change this until the Republican Party becomes a legitimate opposition party and stands up for their voters. You saw that in real time. Lindsey Graham, literally, his weather vane, Lindsey Graham, changed his opinion in 30 seconds. He starts like, well, who's making you fire? And he's like, well, I don't think that's a good idea. 30 seconds or less, he changes his mind. Why? Because people were courageous enough to stand up and say, you don't understand what it's like to have medical choices dictated for you. If the Republican Party stood up together, these measures could be crushed immediately. In the next segment, I'm going to tell you how Republican attorney generals could have ended this vaccine mandate if they would have consolidated their support together. But unfortunately, attorney general in too many states stands for aspiring governor, and they want pharmaceutical money too. We all know this is happening. The Pelosi-Biden regime is destroying our economy with reckless spending. Charlie Kirk here. That's not even worthy of being called news. So what should Americans do to preserve your hard-earned cash? Well, there's an under-the-radar investment the richest people in America use to protect their wealth during times like this. It's one of the oldest and most stable asset classes of all time, and thanks to a new revolutionary tech platform, everyday Americans can finally access it for the first time. You need to buy things that are inflation resistant. So what is it? High-end art. In fact, contemporary art outperformed other assets like gold, real estate, and the S&P 500 by nearly twofold from 1995 to 2020. That's amazing considering this historic bull run we just saw. A lot of people are trying to hedge their portfolios so they have a wait list, but my audience is in great luck. We have a special link to let listeners jump to the front of the line. Buy assets that inflation will not destroy. So go to masterworks.io/Kirk. That is masterworks.io/Kirk. Before deciding to invest, carefully review the important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. If the Republican attorney generals would have united together, not just wrote letters, but if they would have said that if any vaccine mandate that would be instituted in their state would be met with investigations of whether or not waivers are being granted. So here's really what should have happened. You know, you take a state, a rather red state, let's just take South Dakota, because we've been talking about them a lot, or how about Wyoming or Nebraska or North Dakota? The attorney general should have told the population, file as many religious exemptions with your employers as possible. And if they are denied, immediately appeal them to the North Dakota attorney general's office. And that employer could be investigated for violating religious privacy and medical privacy laws. These employers would back down and they would grant all of the religious liberty exemptions. If they would have had the fear of the attorney general coming after them, then they would have just backed off. Now, many of the, I just dealt with this. We just got an email from somebody at freedom@charliekirk.com. They said, Charlie, I failed a religious exemption. I was then intimidated with five men that then have a woman employee, literally five men in a room, ask her, do you take Advil? What kind of shampoo do you use? You know, what other medicine do you take? Incredible violation of medical privacy of five men asking a young woman what her medication schedule is. Now, could you imagine if five men were doing that and say, do you take birth control? What's your sexual history? I mean, the left would lose their mind. But no, if it comes to a vaccine, all of a sudden you can have five men in a room ask very intimate questions. And I gave her some advice because they were trying to say, well, what kind of shampoo do you use? What kind of, you know, do you use Advil or not? Because those could be against your religious beliefs. If they're the ones to determine, you know, anyone's religious beliefs, that they very well might have violated state and federal statute of discriminating based on religion for not granting a religious exemption. And that's where these state attorney generals really need to start to step up, is that you have workers and you have citizens that are being penalized and targeted by their employers in these kind of Soviet show trial commissions that have been established, these kind of panels of interrogation. The attorney generals in these states could have prevented a lot of this from happening. I want to give you an idea of how bad this actually is becoming. And so, an email right here. Charlie, my granddaughter was born Tuesday, October 5th, 8:30 a.m. She was anemic and needed a blood transfusion. My local hospital could not do this due to inadequate personnel and qualified doctors. She had to be airlifted to Paloma, California. When her father arrived that evening to see her, he was instructed that he could not enter because he was not vaccinated or had a negative COVID test. He asked for a test and was told they could not do it because it must be scheduled. He was turned away and could not see his newborn daughter. How do we combat this horrific atrocity toward our freedom and our family? It is so disgusting and evil. We get thousands of emails like this, unfortunately, every week. How about an opposition party? That would be nice. I understand you're in California, you don't have much representation. But it would be terrific if the Republican Party actually started to open their eyes. Like the previous tape we played, Lindsey Graham doesn't even know that military service members are getting kicked out. Who would possibly make you do that? How about the U.S. Navy, Lindsey Graham? Oh, really? I didn't know that. No, he's too busy scheduling a ground invasion of Somalia or whatever random country he thinks, you know, we need more Marines at or whatever. The Republican Party has abandoned us. We know that, absent a couple other people. They are uninterested in actually representing their voters. They're too busy taking money from Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, while people's livelihoods and literally their newborn children are being taken away from them, and fathers can't visit their children. That's what's happening right now. So we're going to have to start to look to other measures. Hopefully, we have some elected officials like attorney generals and others that start to stand up for their voters. America's increasingly becoming an unstable country. We are becoming an unstable country that is ripe for something that none of us want to live through right now, where fathers can't see their daughters because they don't have a negative COVID test and they won't even schedule it. I never thought I'd live through this. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, you can do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.